Good morning, everyone. How is everyone? We're almost into the month of May. Can you believe it? Where is this year going? I mean, it seems like it's going faster and faster and faster. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 1. We're preaching our way through this epistle, and we've made it down to verse 24. And so we'll pull our text from these last few verses of this first chapter. You know, this year we've been talking about the year of release. You know, you and I were believing that the Lord wants to release our family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, anybody that He puts in our path, you know, from the stronghold, the lie, the control of the devil. And so these verses of Scripture today will give you and I a little guidance, a little instruction as far as how we can apply the Word of God to see people released. I want to see them free, don't you? But Jesus said He was the truth, and He's the only truth that makes people free. So you and I, we can wish them, we can hope them, we can beg them, we can plead them. That's not going to work. We got to give them the Word. The Word is the only thing that will make people free. It's the only truth that you and I can count on. So keep everyone on that board back there in your heart and be praying about that. And if you have somebody else come to your mind, be sure and put them on the board because God hadn't changed His mind. If you've noticed how much trouble and struggle and attack that the enemy's had, why has he come against us so hard? Because when he gives us a word, the devil's going to try to steal the word from us. He's going to try to make us back up. We got to hold on to what the Spirit of God has spoke to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. And if you need any encouragement, if you need any special prayer, if you need some help in some way, don't hesitate to ask Donna and me. That's what we're here for. Ask your brothers and sisters because, you know, you're either going to be in the place where you're either needing strength or you're going to be giving strength. That's just the way it is. It's always that way. And so if you've got the strength, give it out. But if you need some, be humble enough to ask for help. Amen. Come on. Jesus loves you, but He works through your brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start in reading in verse 24. Like I said just a moment ago, if you're there, say amen. Paul says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Say, "I'm the body of Christ." Verse 25, Paul says, "Whereof I am made a minister." I'm a minister to the body of Christ. So every time you and I open this Bible, this will minister to you. If you and I, if we don't open up these epistles, we can't be ministered to. Come on now. We've got the greatest thing in the world in our hands. Jesus Christ, that's this living word. "Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." So he's talking to me. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, concentrate on verse 28. "Whom we preach," talking about preaching Jesus, the word of God, "whom we preach," number one, "warning every man." Number two, "teaching every man in all wisdom." And finally, when those two things happen, verse the last part of the verse that we want to hold in the forefront of our mind, "that we may present," that we may stand, "every man perfect," every man complete, man, woman, boy, and girl, no gender intended, "that they may present them perfect, complete, stand with them in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you for this day, for the opportunity in your life, Lord. Let us fill open our hearts and minds, Lord, and pray for our lives, for everything in our thoughts.
Yes.
Great way we thank you, Lord, that it be
Amen and amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for honoring the reading of the word. I believe that we are getting closer and closer. You know, the stronger the battle that gets, the harder it is. Because the enemy, he releases everything he can to put up a wall between you and I from getting to what God is wanting us to accomplish. But you and I, we're on the winning side. Amen. We know who we serve. We serve a living God. We serve an active God. We serve a God that is on the throne. The devil has a false throne, but that throne has nothing to do with you and I. Amen. We're in that place of victory. So this morning, just quickly, I just want us to get to something. But I want you to notice that Paul, here as he's closing this first chapter out, he's wanting us to be reminded that we are, the church is the body of Christ. And so we need to live in this world as that body. In other words, we need to know that Jesus, he set the example as he walked in his body and what he done, what he said, his manner, his method of operation, his mode of life. You and I are to continue that. Everything Jesus did, he said, these things that I'm doing by teaching, by living out for you by example, he said, I want you to do it. Those same works that I'm doing, I want you to do it, except I want you to do it in a greater level because you're going to be in a greater number. So here, that's what Paul is trying to put on our hearts, the reality that we are Christ's body in the earth and we've got something to do. Amen. And so he tells us then about this dispensation of grace, this dispensation of God. He said there in verse 25, whereof I'm made a minister. He said, the word here is deacon. He said, I'm a deacon. I'm a waiter. I'm a laborer of the true things of God. He said, according to this dispensation of God, which is given to me to fulfill the word of God. He said, I've got something to do. Well, you and I, each one of us, we've got something to do. Now, when he says fulfill the word of God, if we look, and we won't take time, you can look in Romans chapter 15, and he talks about fully preaching the word of God. And so the way that you and I can be a part, be that minister that God has called us to be, because every one of us, we're ministers of what? Of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells you and I that we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And so we in this dispensation of God, this time of grace, we want to do that. But the only way you can do it is not preaching what you want or what I want, but preaching fully the word of God. In other words, people don't really need my opinion or my understanding. They need a Savior. And so God wants me. He wants you to present a Savior to them. And so we need to fully preach. That means to bring out the whole truth of where they're at, but what God has for them. Isn't it amazing? It doesn't matter where anybody's at. Jesus has a word for them that will take them from that place of depression, oppression, bondage, control. The devil loves to control people. But you and I, we have a word to preach, a word to give, a word to minister to people's lives that will bring them out of that. And that's what Paul's talking about. But I want us to concentrate. There's so much in all of these verses, but for what we've got this morning, let's look at verse 28 and let's pull those three things out and see if you're a minister of reconciliation, and you are, and if you're in the place where you're receiving the word and then you're giving the word, then these three things need to be very applicable to your life and to my life. We need to be in the place where we receive from God, where we can give back to other people. Amen. We can't give what we don't have. So God wants to fill us up with these. So notice what he said. Paul says in verse 28, talking about Jesus, this Lord Jesus Christ, this living word whom we preach. And that's what we got to get down to. We've got to get our little own agendas out of the way. We've got to get our own opinions out of the way. We've got to get our own desires out of the way if they're not in alignment with the word of God. Now, they can be sanctified by the word of God, and then we can have a much freer life. We can have a life full of more joy and more peace if we will do that. But if we're not willing to do that, if we're going to hold on to some things of ourselves, then we've got to make sure that we don't present a twisted view of Jesus. Right. Amen. We do not want a perverted view of Jesus at all. And so he says, I want you to take this. And he said, I want you to preach it to every man. Number one, warning every man. See, you and I, we've got a job to do, and that job is this word warning is a Greek word. It means to bring to mind. to put Jesus, the Word, in the mind of people. Right now, the devil is working a great deception. He's rocking people to sleep, and there's nothing in their mind. Nothing of the Word of God, nothing of the truth, nothing of what is fixing to take place. They're in a place just like they were in the days of Noah. Jesus told us that in the last days before the coming of the Lord, you're going to see people in a place and a position, because he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Can you imagine? That's where we're at right now. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, was about the Father's business, and he's doing something that had never been done before, and nobody was listening. They weren't concerned about what he was doing. All they were wanting to do was whatever was easy. They were just going with the flow, if you would. And so this morning, you and I, we got to say, wait a minute. I need to bring to the mind of my brothers and sisters, to my neighbors, to my family, to my coworkers, that there is a judgment coming. That this world isn't going to continue the way it is, that there's going to be some things that's going to change, amen? And so I want to warn him. So hold your place right here in the first chapter and turn over to the third chapter, and let's see the same Greek word about warning, and let's see how we can apply that. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 16. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell, inhabit, live in you richly. In all wisdom," notice this, "teaching and admonishing." That's that same word that's translated warning. "Admonishing one another." Put it in the mind of one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you and I, if we don't have this word of God in us, and not just have a little bit of it, he said he wants you to be filthy rich. Rich in the things of God. He wants that word to be so much in abundance in your life that it changes your attitude. It changes your actions. It changes your speech. Why is it changing your speech? Because it's changed your mind. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. So we've got to be in the place and the position where I let this word dwell in me richly. He said it would teach, but it would admonish. It would warn people. See, if you and I don't have nothing in our life to combat what we're seeing, you know what's going to happen? And it's not going to be too long to what we're seeing, we're going to accept. Come on, that's what's happening all across our churches today. They are accepting another gospel. They're accepting sin and evil into the church, behind the pulpit, and all of these things. And it's coming so slowly at first, but now it's coming like a flood. And so you and I got to be in the place, and we got to say, no, wait a minute, that looks good. The devil loves to organize things and do things in the community, in the world, that makes people think, well, what's wrong with this? They're doing good. Oh, yeah, they're doing good seemingly on the outside, but the good on the outside has nothing to do with the evil that is on the inside. And so we got churches that are, and people and organizations that are supporting these things that they think that they're doing good, and they're supporting the work of the devil. Amen. You are a steward of what God's gave you. Don't let the devil get a hold of it. Make sure that you got enough of the Word of God in your life that you know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And you're doing it because the Word is bringing truth to you. It's making you more free. It's giving you liberty. It's giving you a vision of what's right and what's wrong. Amen. Now, notice what happens when we have this Word of God dwelling in us richly. He said it would change our speech, but look at verse 17, and it will change our action. So it brings words and works together. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." See, when he says when you do something in the name of Jesus, that word name is character. It's authority. In other words, you don't do anything that the character of Jesus Christ doesn't back up. And then if you're doing it in the character of Jesus, there's going to be the authority there, which will trump the power of the devil every time. Jesus said, "I have all power," but the word is, "I have all authority in heaven and earth." Amen. And he said, "Now I'm going to give it to you." And so we've got to be in the place and a position where we recognize that, we realize that, and we say, no, wait a minute, I've got to let this word dwell in me richly. So the word tells me who I am, but it also tells me what I'm supposed to be saying, word, and what I'm supposed to be doing, works. It'll bring our words and our works together. Amen. That's what Paul's trying to do at the church at Colossae. It's trying to get them back where they're walking hand in hand with the grace of God and not letting false teachers take them away. The whole world is being taken away by false teachers right now. And so you and I, we've got to what? We've got to warn people. We've got to admonish them. We've got to bring to their mind. See, people, they think it's all right if they're not thinking about it, if they don't know the truth. But there's going to be a judgment day, and it's not going to be about what they think they didn't know, because Romans tells us very, very clearly in chapter 1 that the whole creation is preaching the gospel. And Paul told the church at Rome, says, you have no excuse not to know who Jesus Christ is. So there's going to be a judgment day. So they can reject all that if they want to. But you and I have got to what? We've got to challenge them. Put it in their mind. The truth. The dispensation. The time of this great grace. Amen? All right. Let's read another verse. Hold your place in Colossians. We'll be right back. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look where this word is used in verse 14. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he said, now we exhort you, brethren, there it is, warn, admonish, warn them that are unruly, disorderly. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, that are disorderly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. We've got something to say to people. Your opinion is not of itself. Your opinion is being sanctified by the Word of God, and you need to tell people where the Word is standing and where they're standing. Because if they're on the sand, guess what? The sand is going to wash them away. But if they're on the rock, they're on the Word, if they're building their life on that, it doesn't matter what kind of storm comes against them, they're going to still be there. Amen? And so they need to know this. He said that... jump up to verse 12 in this 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's read that. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You've got somebody to admonish. Somebody's going to be admonishing me, warning me, helping me, or I'm going to be used by the Lord to admonish, to warn, to help somebody else. We've got to know the time, the season. We've got to know where we're at. And he said in verse 13, he said, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. The only reason why we don't have peace in certain areas is because we're not what? We're not receiving instruction. If we kick against the pricks, Paul kicked against the pricks for a number of years. He knew what it was like. Come on, not to have peace with the Lord and to walk by the law, the letter of the law that kills rather than the grace of the law that gives life. And so he's able to say here, I want to warn those who are disorderly, who are unruly, who are out of place. Who's going to do it unless you say, God, I'll do it. Send me. Come on, you've got an opportunity. Yes, there's obstacles, but the opportunity of the Lord will destroy the obstacles of the devil every time. Amen. And you need to tell the devil that. Every time an obstacle comes up, say, devil, your obstacle does not diminish what God has gave me, because God has gave me an opportunity and it's going to swallow up your obstacle. Come on, talk to him. He talks to you. Talk back in the name of the Lord. Don't listen to his lies. Give the word back to him. That's what the angel said. He said, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, he said, I'm going to speak the word to him. I'm not going to get in a conversation of self. Let the word talk. And if you let the word talk, it'll change everything. Okay, go back to Colossians 1. Let's look at the second one of these that was on our heart this morning. He said in verse 28, Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man. That's what we just looked at. And teaching every man in all wisdom. Teaching. See, it doesn't do any good to tell a child, hey, don't touch that, it's going to burn you, if you don't tell them why. And it's easy just to say, don't do that. The teaching part is the part that where you got to be disciplined, I got to be disciplined, and we got to hear from the Lord, and we got to put forth some effort, get our heart into it. And it takes effort, and it takes something only the Lord can do. My dad, he loved to tell you what to do, but he never could tell me how to do it. He never could tell me the way that I was supposed to do it. But thank God that God puts people in our lives that tells us not what to do, but how to do what we're supposed to do. Amen. And so that's what you are. You need to stand up and you need to hold your chest out and be proud that God said, I count you as the body of my son in the earth, and I believe that you can share with people a word that will teach them. That's all it means. It simply means to teach. See, you can do things that I've never seen, that some other person has never seen. You may do certain ways. Now, me and Larry would, I was thinking about this the other day, Larry, when we went down there and we brung in that furniture that you and Shirley bought. You know, I had part of it on my truck and part of it on the other truck, you know, and I was watching Larry tie all these knots. See, I've got a knot here that's really ugly. And it's not very effective, but he could tie a knot that would stay. And that's like my grandpa. They'd do these crazy things with his ropes. But I never took the time to learn it. I thought it was cool, but I never took the time to learn it. And so I'm still tying ugly knots today. We don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over. We can learn and we can be taught. So we need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm teachable. But not only am I teachable, I'm willing to be used by you to teach somebody else. Amen? And what greater gift can you give than to share what God, with his wisdom that he has warned you about, that he has admonished you about, to give to somebody else? That's why we're at where we're at right now, because the church, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to get in trouble with my 501c3. I don't want to go against this and go against that. Hey, the government ain't going to take care of you, but Jesus will. Thank God for 501c3, but when it comes and gets in the way of preaching the truth, that's got to go in the trash, and the truth's got to go forward, amen? So this morning, you got to be in that place where you say, listen, Paul, he set forth the example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so he done what Jesus did. And so as we look at the examples of Jesus, we look at the examples of Paul, we need to be in that place where we're warning people, but we're not just warning them without giving them instruction. Well, you can give people instruction. So go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at the example of Jesus. We don't have time to read all of this, but you start reading in verse 17 in your home study time, and we're going to pick it up in verse 23 in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee. What was he doing? Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. Why? Because nobody knew anything. All they knew was about the law. And they had just a small understanding of who God was, as far as the law could take them. And then you had other people here who didn't have any relationship because they were out of covenant. They didn't understand anything about the law. They hadn't been taught. And so he said, I'm going to go, and as I go, I'm going to teach. Well, Paul said that you and I were his body in the earth. So as we go, we've got to recognize and realize that we're called to teach. Come on. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And notice what happens when you start with teaching and you move to preaching. He said, in healing all manner of disease, or all manner of sickness, pardon me, all manner of disease among the people. Everybody wants people to be changed, but they'll never be changed without this Bible. People has got to have this word. Well, they're not going to get the word on their own. I gave you my testimony. I read the word and it didn't mean anything to me because I didn't have the Holy Spirit and I wasn't born again yet, so it didn't mean anything. But you and I, when we get born again, we get drawn by the Holy Spirit and we accept Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in to be our teacher and our guide, but we've got to have somebody to show us how to learn to listen. I didn't know how to listen. I didn't know how to study the Bible. I didn't even know how to read the Bible. We need people. People need you. And so I got to be in that place where I say, Lord, I want the teaching to go forth where what? Where the signs and the wonders can be manifested. If we'll get back to teaching the Bible, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, then healing's going to come. Healing will be a sign and a wonder to those who are lost and undone. And it'll bring them out of this sick world. It'll bring them out of sin and it'll bring them to the Savior. Amen. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him how many of the sick people? all sick people that were taken with divers, motley, various diseases, and torments. There's so many people that's tormented in their mind. They're thinking about, how am I going to make it till the next check comes? How am I going to make it through this day? I didn't sleep last night. How am I going to make it? My marriage is falling apart. How am I going to make it? I don't know where my son or my daughter is. How am I going to make it? They've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have got to teach them the Word of God. Teach them how they can come to a relationship. Come on, to back to the Father who's calling them through the Son by His Spirit. And those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And He what? He healed them. He healed them by His Word. His Word. He is His Word. You can't separate it. But so if you and I want the promises of God, then we've got to what? We've got to tell what the promises are. We've got to be the body of Christ in this earth. And so this is what Paul is trying so hard to instill to that church and to our church today. Now look what happens, verse 25. And there followed him great, not just a little bit, but great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And I won't waste your time or take too long, but if you will study the transliteration and throw that to the side and look at the definition of every one of these names, you'll see what it means where Jesus, He had group of people drawn by the Spirit out of every situation. Nobody was left out. He brought them out of the heathen circle. He brought them out of those who thought they were founded on praise and on peace, but they weren't. They didn't know what true praise and peace was. He brought them all together. Only the Word brings people together. If you're at odds this morning with somebody, then you need a word from God that'll put that unity back together. Amen? Man can't do it, but the Word will do it. Now, keep reading chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. So he saw all of these groups of people and where they'd been called from. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and there he was set. His disciples came unto him, because he's going to teach them. Anytime that you draw nigh unto the Lord, He'll draw nigh unto you. And He has a word for you. He has a word for me. He wants to put that word in you, and He wants to change, sanctify your whole life. He wants to change and sanctify my whole life. He wants to make us a blessing. Look what He says in verse 2. And He opened His mouth and He taught them. Remember what Paul said. Paul said we're to warn, we're to admonish, and to teach people. That's what makes us a disciple. That's what makes us part of the body of Christ. Yes, Paul had this special ministry, but he said for us to follow him as he follows Jesus. So that's that example laid out for us. So he taught them. Here Jesus gives the greatest sermon ever preached. Come on, the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain as well, if you, is good. And I like certain aspects the way it's brought forth, maybe in a different way. But this right here, this is the greatest message that was ever preached. And he taught all of them. He gave them a hope. He gave them confidence. He gave them an opportunity to hear. And so you and I, if I am his disciple, that means I'm disciplined in what Jesus tells me to do. That's the only way we'll have true satisfaction in this life. We'll have true peace is when we say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Amen? Because it's bigger than you and I. We don't always, we see just enough of what God wants us to see, and then the rest of it, we have to walk it out by faith. Amen? All right, let's go back to Colossians. And let's look at this again, verse 28. Now notice what he said. He said, whom we preach, this Jesus we preach, we warn every person, teaching every person in all wisdom, that we may present every person, every man, every person, perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. Now, give me just a little bit of time this morning, okay? Because I wasn't going to do this, but I think for us to understand how we're going to be able to complete a person's life, how to make them perfect in Jesus, we've got to know that we've got to present them. Now, this word present would be better translated stand. In other words, when you stand by Jesus, Jesus stands by you. And if Jesus is standing by you, he brings strength to you. He brings the ability for you and I to do what seemingly to us is impossible. Let's look at an example. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Hold your place there and turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:17. Let's see where this same word is used, where it says present every man. But let's see where it's translated stood. For 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Paul here, he's gone through so much trials and tribulations, so much struggle. And look what he says. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Mark it down in your Bible. Mark it down in your Bible app. That's that same word that we're looking at in Colossians where it says, present every man. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. What did he do? He strengthened me. See, when you're standing with the Lord and the Lord's standing with you, he will always strengthen you. And look what he told Paul. He said that by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles, those without a covenant with God, and that all the Gentiles might hear. See, that's what Jesus is trying to get into our heart through bringing this message by the Spirit to the Apostle Paul. He said, I want you to present every person complete. Well, you can't, I can't present every person complete unless we're willing to stand with them. We got to put our arm around them. Jesus put his arm around me. I was covered in sin, had a stench of sin all over my life. I had death all over me. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to put my arm around you. And if you'll accept my arm, immediately you're going to be made righteous. All of that was washed away. And so he stood by me, he strengthened me. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, when I was fixing to lose everything, I knew it. He said, it wasn't time. I'm fixing to go and my head's fixing to roll. But I'm going to go the way the Lord wants me to go, not the way the devil wants me to go. And you need to tell the devil that. No, my family's not going to go the way that you're trying to lead them. My community's not going to go. My neighborhood's not going to go. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be the body of Christ in the earth. Christ is going to stand beside me. I'm going to stand beside him. Amen. And we're going to make a difference. We're going to admonish and we're going to make people perfect, complete in the Lord. Amen. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles, those who don't have a covenant, might hear. And I noticed this. And he said, because I've done that and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See, when you and I are willing to help somebody else, we're really helping ourselves. Now, whether this is a literal line, because we know what they did to Christians at that time, or if this is a type of Nero and his persecution, I don't really know. But Paul said, I was delivered. Maybe this is just the word of Satan himself, of the devil. He is as a roaring lion, Peter told us, who's seeking whom he may devour. Peter chapter 5, down about what, verse 8 or something? Whatever it was, he said, because I was standing there. So you and I, we need to get a heart for those people who are fixing to be devoured. And the only way they're not going to be devoured is you and I, we admonish, we warn them, we teach them, but we stand by them to present them. Right. It takes effort to do these things. Right. And it's uncomfortable sometimes to do these things. And you know, if you're a person that doesn't like confrontation like me, it's really a challenge to do what God would have us to do. But we've got to make the choice that the will and the plan of God comes first. Amen? Okay, let's make sure that we understand this. Go with me. Let's look at some scripture here. Go with me to Mark chapter 14. Let's see where the same word, where he says present, is translated this stand. So we can see the example of what we're talking about. Mark chapter 14, Jesus is fixing to be delivered up for you and I. And look at verse 45. Mark 14:45. And as soon as he was come, talking about Judas coming to Jesus to betray him. He goeth straightway to him and he saith, Master, Master, Rabbi, Rabbi. And he kissed him. You know, Jesus, it's Psalms. In the Psalms, it talks about he gave up by his own familiar friend. He was gave over. Can you imagine the feeling of this betrayal? Verse 46, and they laid their hands on him. They laid their hands on Jesus and took him. Now, notice this. Verse 47. And one of them, and we'll look at it in just a minute and show that it's Peter. And Peter that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, Peter has had all this opportunity to pray with Jesus during this whole time while Jesus is in the oil press in the garden there, and he's asleep. And so he misses the whole opportunity to get strong and to be in the right place. So he's standing by Jesus, but he's not in the love of Jesus. He's not in the will of the Father. He's not in the plan of God. He's letting this attack on Jesus, he's letting his emotions that are not sanctified control him. Unsanctified emotions will destroy people. Unsanctified feelings will hurt people. So go with me to John 18. Let's get this whole picture. I just want you to see that word. That word stood is the same word that's translated present in Colossians 1:28. And look at John 18. This is in all four Gospels, but I just want you to get a clear picture of it. Verse 10 for sake of time. John 18:10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Verse 11. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, he's trying to get Peter's attention. He's trying to get him out of his emotion, out of his feeling, and get him into the timing of the Lord. He's trying to what? He's trying to admonish him. He's trying to warn him. He's trying to stand with him. He's saying, Peter, you think you're standing with me, but you're not. When we hurt our brothers and sisters, when we hurt God's children, it's as us sticking our finger in God's eye. Remember what Jesus told Paul? He said, you're persecuting me when you persecute my... Come on, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? No, it's what he told him. He said, because you're persecuting my very own. And so we got to be in the place and the position. If I'm going to stand with somebody and prevent them, help them, embolden them, empower them to be perfected, completed, I've got to be in the place where it is only by the word and not by what I'm thinking or feeling. Luke 22. Let's look at one more to get this full picture in our heart. Jesus' heart was to heal. Verse 48. Let's get the full thought again, best we can. Luke 22:48. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Verse 49. And they which were about him saw that he would follow, and they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? We're getting a little understanding here of what's going on in their hearts. And one of them, we found out it was Peter, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now look what happens. Verse 51. Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far? And he touched, the word from the Greek, he attached himself to that ear that was on the floor, on the ground, in the dirt. Can you imagine the blood that's going everywhere? Can you imagine the scream of this servant? And Jesus reached down, picks up that bloody ear that's probably covered in dirt. He attaches himself to it. In other words, that he puts life into that ear and he heals him. Because why? Because Jesus is standing with God the Father. He's not letting what he's hurt. Can you imagine how hurt he is because Judas is doing this? Can you imagine how hurt he is because Peter, James, and John couldn't pray with him for 1 hour? But he's not letting any of that move him because he's standing with God and God's standing with him. And so with that in your heart, go back to Colossians. Let's reread verse 28. This Jesus whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, talking no gender intended, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Perfect, complete, mature to that day. So you're going to have to put your arm around somebody, but you're going to have to be willing to let somebody put their arm around you. And if we will do that, it's not really their arm that's going around you. It's the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they give you a word, when they give me a word of instruction, it's not their word. It's the word of Jesus. Jesus wants what's best for me. He wants what's best for you. And so we got to be in the place, if we're going to see the year of release manifested in those people that we're believing for, that we're praying for, we've got to what? We've got to stand up and follow the word of God. Let's look at the word in perfect and complete here in closing. Go with me to James chapter 1. We've taught on this many times and you know it, but I just want to close out with that thought where we'll have it in our heart. James chapter 1, verse number 2. James chapter 1. Verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, in other words, he said, this word count, it means that you look at it and you do an inventory. Come on, every one of us, we open our cabinets and we say, okay, I need some beans. I need some flour. I need something. You know, or you get in your vehicle and you go, oh, I need gas. Or I need, you take an inventory. I need some oil. Well, he's saying you need to take an inventory of everything that you're going through this morning. And then don't let the devil make you act or react out of what you're going through. Rather, you count it. In other words, you say, no, devil, I'm going to put it up here in the place of joy. Because all of a sudden you put yourself in the place of success, the place of victory. The devil doesn't understand joy. Everything that we put up here in the level of joy, the devil cannot touch it because he don't even know what it is. You're talking about the most miserable entity. He's fallen. He is a dead person on the inside out. So you take an inventory. You say, okay, I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a struggle. I don't understand why I have to put my arm around this brother. I don't know why this brother's got their arm around me, but I'm going to count this situation as something of the Lord, is a blessing. I'm going to put it up here where it cannot be touched by the enemy. Amen? Count it all joy when you fall into divers, into these motley, these various temptations, these tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, how does faith come? So we're back to the Word. Everything has to go back to the Word. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. The trials and the tests are to pull the Word out of you and where you get weaker. But you and I, we hold on to the Word and we apply the Word and it makes us stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Let it be complete in you. See, we don't have to keep going through the same thing over and over and over. We can complete some things and we can get above that trial. We can get above that test, that temptation. We don't have to keep going through the same thing. Jesus, he went through those temptations in Matthew 4, Luke 4. And then when the devil left him for a season, he was looking for an opportunity to come back. And we know that Jesus was in all points tempted yet without sin. He didn't tempt Jesus over and over in those same areas. The devil doesn't waste his time. So if you're sick of going through a certain thing, do what the Bible says. Do what the Word says. Come up above that, amen, and be in the place of success. But let patience have her perfect, her complete work, only by the Word, that you may be perfect, that you may be complete and entire, wanting, lacking nothing. Now, how do we do that? Drop down to verse 25. Verse 25, I'm fixing to let you go. But whosoever looketh into the perfect, there's that word, the complete law of liberty. Come on, the love law. The love of Jesus Christ, the grace law, makes you free. Amen? When you're walking in love, you're free from everything. Nothing can hold you down because everything of the devil is hate and death and destruction. Everything of the Lord Jesus Christ is love, is life, is constructive in your life. And the devil has no part and no lot in your life. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continuing therein, he or she, no gender intended, being not a what? A forgetful hearer. Why do we do that? Why do we hear the word that is the word that is going to make us free, the word that's going to embolden us, empower us, and lay it to the side? We do that if we're not careful, or at least I do. You may not, but I'm learning. I'm learning. Being not a forgetful hearer, how do you know if you're forgetful or not? But be a doer of the work. It's easy. Remember when John the Beloved is there in Revelation chapter 11, and he's standing there, and they bring the word to him, and they said, hey, this word is going to taste so sweet in your mouth, but it's going to be bitter in your tummy. And John keeps talking to the angel, and he says, give me the word. He said, huh? You take it. No, give it to me. No, you take it. Jesus done gave everything he's gave. You've got to reach out and take the truth. You've got to take the word. And yes, when we first read it, it's so sweet. But when you start working the word, when you start applying it, it's bitter to your tummy because it takes effort. But the Holy Ghost is going to embolden you and empower you to put the word into practice. And that's the only way you will not be a forgetful hearer is if you're doing what God told you. Don't do what somebody else is doing. Do what God told you. And there will be unity because everybody will be doing a facet or a side or a revelation of the same thing. Because you and I were in the same body. But we're going to be doing it in the way that God would have us to. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work, this man, this person, shall be blessed in his or her deed. Everything that you and I put our hand to is to be blessed. See, we let the devil convince us, well, you know, this might work and it might not work. Well, then you're going to have what you just thought. Everything that you put your hand to is blessed. You tell the devil that. So you and I, we're to warn them. We're to teach them, but we're to present them. We're to stand beside them in the place where they're complete. And what makes them complete is the word. And yes, tell them you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through struggles and all of these things, but if you will let the word be the last thing that has the last say in your life, you're going to overcome. You're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? I'll just have to quit right there. All right. I want to close with this thought. In June of 1976, there was an aircraft that took off from Israel. And along the way, as it makes different stops, it gets hijacked. And this went on for several days. And finally, in July of 1976, the Israelis, they come up with a plan to deliver these 103 hostages that were on this plane. They were seven hijackers, and they had complete control of this plane. I mean, and what they were going to do, they hated the Israeli people, and they were going to make an example out of them and this plane. So the Israelis, they got a group of commando soldiers together, and they got this unit. And when this plane landed in Uganda, they had it all figured out what they were going to do. And so at the right time, they went and they stormed this aircraft. This, I believe it was a 707, I think, I don't know, I think it was. But anyway, they stormed this aircraft. And when they stormed this aircraft, as they broke through the doors, they spoke pure Hebrew. Because the hijackers were the Arabs and different, they didn't have any knowledge of what Hebrew was. And when they spoke those words, the words was to everybody that was a Israeli, a Hebrew, they would knew what to do. And it was lay flat on the floor. So bam, 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 they hit the floor. And they what did they do? They took out seven hijackers. There's only one problem. There was three that didn't take heed to the command. Two died instantly. One died in the hospital. See, there's a great message here for you and I today. See, you can hear a warning from the Lord because you speak His language. He speaks your language. He knows the words that'll reach your heart, that'll reach you exactly where you're at, that'll reach me exactly where I'm at. I can hear Him. He is my shepherd. I am His sheep. And He said, I could hear His voice. And that word hear means to hear with understanding. So when He gives me a warning, if I'll take heed to that warning, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be delivered. That's what Paul said. Paul said, He delivered me from the mouth of the lion because He was standing with me and I was standing with Him. Don't let the devil bully you into thinking that you're going down in defeat, because you're not. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. But you've got to know who you're listening to. And you got to know who's fighting your battle. And as long as you're standing by Him, you're going to what? You're going to be out of the enemy's fire. You're going to be out of the fire, even a friendly fire. You're going to be in the place where you're protected. Friendly fire happens inside the church. We got to be protected. Amen. The way we're protected is we hear the warning. We yield and we come together and we walk and talk in love. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this wonderful group of people. Lord, with all of my heart, I ask You, Lord, by the anointing of the Spirit of God, that You will just touch every person. Lord, let this struggle and this battle that seemingly has got heavier and more confusion than I've ever seen in my life, let today be the day that there be complete deliverance, because let that patience, let it come to its entirety today. Let us come to the place where whatever the enemy is trying to do, we have held and stood by You, and we've allowed You to put Your arm around us, and we receive instruction today that we may be delivered, that the trying of our faith is turned, as Peter said, pure as gold. Help every person here just to hear the word that they need, where they can see who they are in You. They can receive a word. I can receive a word of instruction, correction. I can be warned, but I can also be used by You to teach, and I can be used by You to stand by somebody. They can be used by You to stand by somebody, to put their arm around, and to bring a person to a place of perfection, a place of completion to this time of growth. Or let it be. Let it be. Let us count everything all joy. Let us get all of these things up above what the enemy's trying to do. We ask You in the name of Jesus. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, thank God, today's the day I've heard the word, and I'm going to come out of this wilderness situation. I'm going to come out of this valley of decision, and I'm going to come to a place where the hand of God is going to be upon me. The Spirit of God is going to come upon me. That word is going to take root, and I'm going to have a newfound place of liberty and freedom. Would you come this morning, and let's let the Lord love on you. Let Him minister to you. Let Him show you that you are His body in the earth, and that you're in the right place in the right time for just a new level, a new place of commitment. And a new place of commitment brings a new anointing. It brings a new place of prosperity in your call, in the ministry that God's gave you. In other words, of reaching and helping and benefiting those that's in your world. Hallelujah. Would you, in Jesus' name?